the Rocket, Bill Lack. Welcome to Newsmakers. We have a handful of guests on the show. Pirates outfielder Andrew McCutchen, his manager Clint Hurdle, and teammate Josh Harrison. We also have David Price, Jackie Bradley Jr. of the Red Sox, and Astros broadcaster Todd Callis. We start with McCutchen, who doesn't want to be traded. He loves Pittsburgh. Andrew McCutchen, thank you so much for being on the show. First of all, my first question is, I spoke to Clint Hurdle, and he said, when Kutch goes, the team goes. So you're off to a slow start, and do you feel that you're the difference on this team?
I don't feel I'm the difference. You know, that's why we have a team. So, you know, this next guy up, you pick each other up. But I also understand that, you know, when I'm playing my game, that I can make a difference. When I'm on the bases, I make a difference, you know. So I do understand to a certain extent that, you know, when I'm doing what I do, it gives us a better opportunity to be able to win a ball game. So, I do understand that, but at the same time, I don't feel like, I'm the guy that needs to get going for the team to win, you know, so because it's a little far-fetched, if you ask me, because it's you know, so there's nine guys, and, you know, with nine guys on the field, you know, they can all impact the game.
What do you do to get back on track? I know you just had a recent streak that ended. How do you get back on track for the rest of the way?
I know. I feel good. You know, just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, sometimes baseball present different challenges and opportunities. Yesterday, you know, I had two walks. And, you know, I went 0-for-2 with two walks. You know, so I didn't. And then I can look back on yesterday's game and go, you know what, I really didn't get anything to hit yesterday. You know, so I can look at that and say, you know, it wasn't necessarily me. You know, the pitchers just hit their spots when I came up. And, you know, I wasn't able to really get the type of swing off that I wanted to get off. And thus, I didn't get a hit. But, you know, I did work the count, got a couple walks, got myself a scoring position. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at that. And I just stay there. You know, I don't have to change anything. Just stay where I'm at. And when I get a pitch to hit, just be ready to hit it.
Andrew, I'd like to know, for what you went through the last year and a half, how much has your family helped you out to keep a positive atmosphere around you?
Yeah, you know, I've had a very good crew of people who have surrounded me, people I trust, who have, you know, helped me through tough times. You know, my family, my parents, my wife, you know, who's been very, very, very supportive of through all of this, because a lot of times people don't tend to look at, you know, anyone outside of you. You know, they tend to just look at you, but everyone's affected, you know, by it. So, but yeah, you know, my wife's been a big supporter, keeping me positive, and going out, you know, and, you know, just helping me through the tough times, the ups, the downs. Someone I can just talk to, and when I need to talk to her about certain things. Yeah, it's been good. It's been big for me, and it's definitely helped me out through it all.
What's the biggest advice you received from her, or even your parents?
You know, it's just to know who I am, to know what I can do, to understand that this game is a business, and to just go out there and show people what I'm capable of doing. Every single day, you know, it's just, at the same time, just being thankful, you know, where I am and what I'm doing, and to know that, you know, there could be some kid there at the game that's watching me and care less about what I'm hitting, you know, how I feel, what I'm doing that day. Trade talks, they don't care about that. They just came to watch me play, you know, they came to hopefully have that one interaction with me, you know, so to just appreciate and to look at and look out for those moments that you can have with someone else, because that's something that can leave a long lasting impression on that person. You just never know it. So basically, take the focus off myself, focus it on other people, and just remember to just smile and have fun.
Andrew, it seems to me, despite what's going on the last year and a half, that You've kept an even keel. You haven't talked to the media much. Why do you feel that is best for you?
There's times when, you know, you feel like you need to voice your opinion or voice whatever it is that's going on around you. But a lot of times, there's times where you can talk, there's times where you don't need to. There's times where you need to answer a question, there's times where you don't need to. But I just answer what I need to answer, say what I need to say, and I move on because I do my best to try and be positive and stay positive and have a better outlook on things because even though people may feel like, you have the right to say this, you know, it may feel good at that moment, but that's something that's going to live with you and last forever once it's out. So I need to understand that. What's going to leave a long-lasting impression? Will it be something that's just in the moment, or will it be something that you can say that, you know, can last years and years and years down the road, and people will always be able to refer back to that and say, you know, even in this time, this is how he looked at things, this is his outlook on things, you know, and that's what I try and do, is just be present, be in the moment, but being real, but being positive at the same time.
You care about your image, don't you?
I mean, I don't. I will say I do care about my image, but I would say that it's not fake. You know, like that's kind of the way I look at it. It's not like I say things and I say it in a way to where I'm doing an interview, but I'm being fake while I'm doing it. You know, I'm going to leave this impression of I'm, you know, not human, basically. You know, no, it's just the fact that if I'm saying what I need to say, and I'm saying it in a way to where if you know I'm upset, you're going to know I'm upset, and I'll say that I'm upset. But I'm not to the point to where it's just not in my personality, it's not in who I am. To be able to like talk about something to the point to where I'm bashing someone, mm-hmm. or you know talking badly about someone, or have some animosity towards someone, it's not gonna be like that. It's just gonna come out as, hey, he was upset, but you know what he said was, I understand that, I get mm-hmm. that, you know, and that's just kind of who I am, and that's you know, it's just not something that's broad. It's not fake, I think. It's just
trying to work. Andrew, you're a popular guy in Pittsburgh, and the fans have treated you great. I'm just curious. I have to ask you, how much do you want to stay in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I've never thought about anything else. This is a uniform I've always and only worn. So, this is something that I want to do. It's somewhere I want to be. Now, I know I can't control that. I can't control that the business side of where I am or whatnot. So I don't focus on that. I just focus on my team. I focus on the guys around me, because the more I try and focus on where am I going to be, or am I going to be here, am I going to stay here, the more I lose that time with my teammates, with my friends, the more I lose the present. Because I'm so focused on things that haven't happened, or won't happen, or will, or you know, I try not to let my mind go there. I just focus on right now. So, yeah, of course, this is where I want to be, but you know, that's what I have on me right now, mm-hmm. and that's all I'm focusing on.
What was the off season like? I mean, it was nothing but McCutchen talk. You going to the Nationals? What was your take on that?
The take was, people need news. People need something to talk about. Mm-hmm. People need that big name, because that's the only thing that's going to draw people's attention to click on a page. That's the way that I looked at it. You know, people need something to talk about. So in the midst of all of it, you know, I was just, all right, well, you know, there's nothing that I can do. Yeah, there may be some talks going on, but hey, I'm a big name, and that's about the only name that's really big right now that was at the time, so I need to talk about it, you know, and you know, it could have been 10 other guys, 10 other big name guys, you know, that could have been in the same position, and that may, and then so in the news myself may not have been as big. But since it was kind of a slow off season, I think that, you know, that's the reason, you know, it was put out there. So I just looked at it like that, like, hey man, you know, people need something to talk about, so There's nothing I can do about that. I can't control that. So I just try not to think about it as much.
I want to talk about the team. The good news, you're only 4 games out, but the team's off to a slow start. How do you get back on track?
I just got to play better baseball. That's all. Got to have our guys go out, our starters go out, and do as best as they can to keep us in the ball games. And when we have opportunities to score runs, we got to do our best to be able to put our foot down and get that run in. That's what's big. That's what we got to do. That's the only way we're going to be able to win ball games. If we don't do that, we miss those opportunities. Makes it hard to win. You know, we're a ball club that needs to score that next run when we have that opportunity. So the more we do that, the more consistently we do that, the better off we're going to be. We just got to just remain consistent with our approach.
And you lost Kang and you lost Sonny Marte. How much of that hurt?
I mean, that was a blow for us, because those are two guys who, are game changers, two big bats, two guys who play exceptional defense. So those are some blows for us, losing them. Gong, who pretty much, who knows, we'll even see him, and Marte, you won't see him till the second half. So, the good thing is, Marte will be back the second half. But as of right now, it has been a big loss for us, but we've had guys to step up and get the job done. Osuna's done an amazing job for us, taking Marte's place, getting Frazier more of an opportunity to play every single day. Mm-hmm. And he's done a really good job for us. So guys have stepped up, and they're filling in, and they're doing a good job.
And final question, what's your heart telling you in the future? Are you going to be here, or you'll be somebody else, somewhere else?
What my heart tells me is just to stay present. So I don't know. I don't really know outside of that, because I try not to focus on things that I can't control. I can't control the weather. So I'm not going to focus on, is it going to be a sunny day or is it going to be a cloudy day? I can't control that. I don't control that. So I don't worry about it, and I don't focus on it. I just live in it, So that's what I do the same way when it comes to where am I going to be, or am I going to be here or not? I don't know. I can't control it. So, I don't focus on it. I just focus on today, focus on where I'm at right now, and because that's all that matters. Because I can only control so much, and attitude and effort, those two things that I can't control. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna just work on that and stay there.
Andrew McCutchen, thank you so much.
My next guest is Clint Hurdle. He claims the Pirates are not rebuilding. Here's what he had to say. Enjoy the podcast.
Clint Hurdle, thank you so much for being on the show. Clint, I watched the Pirates lately, and they play hard, but you haven't been getting the results you want at some point. Could you talk about why is that?
Well, the game is interconnected. You got to pitch, you got to catch it, you got to hit it. We have had some disconnects. Offensively, we were challenged early. Defensively, we were challenged early. When two of your three components are coming up short and you're not playing Major League average baseball, it's hard to win. We had a very tough schedule. Major Leagues is tough all over, but our first month schedule, stiff competition. The month of May, 33 out of 34 games we played in a row. I think we've battled well. We've missed some key components. We found out early on that Gong wasn't going to be a part. Two regulars, two of the top four guys in our lineup haven't been able to play much for us this year. So we've had to readjust that way. We've missed Tyone out of our rotation, arguably our third best pitcher. We've had another couple guys step up. So at the end of the day, we're 4 games out of first place. We're battling. We do play hard. We need to play better.
That's the good news. That you're not too far from the Brewers, and you have to be happy about that.
We are. It's a fortunate place to be in when you're 6 games under .500 and you're only 4 games out. We have been in a large percentage of our games. You talk about 1 or 2 run games one way or the other. Which bodes well, I think, for the future. We have a lot of younger players on our team as well right now. Mm-hmm. Probably more than we've had in the past. We got three rookies in the rotation. We had a rookie behind the plate last night. We've got a young player playing out in left field. We have one time had four rookies on the bench. Right. So we're cutting teeth in some areas. We're dependent upon some of our experienced guys to provide some stability and some consistency off the mound and at the plate. I think it's all working together. We just got to continue to find a way to play more consistent baseball and individually get a little bit better every day.
To be more consistent, what do you want to see the team improve on?
We need more innings out of our starting pitching. We don't like to turn the ball over to our bullpen when we're ahead. We love Nicasio, Rivera, Watson. We love finishing out that way. LeBlanc has given us a nice shot in the arm out of the bullpen as well. We'd like to see our starters in play more. Cervelli's just missed another couple games. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup. We'd like some stability there behind the plate. So overall, offensively, we can take some steps forward. Andrew McCutchen had an 8-game streak snap last night. It'd be nice to get that bat back in play because when Andrew plays well, we play well.
This team has had some distractions. Starling Marte being suspended. Could you lose Andrew McCutchen? Has that been a distraction on this team?
You know, I think when events happen, and you could go back and start with Gom, not being able to come over for spring training, not being here now, we've dealt with it. I think we honestly self-evaluate. Gom's not here. We need to play on. Marte's not here. We need to play on. He had his time with his team. He's trying to get himself right, get his game right down in Pirate City in Bradenton. The game moves on here. Nobody in the big leagues feels sorry for you when you have injuries. Most of them don't care and are glad they happen. So we'll find a way to play above it. We'll find a way to play through it, and we'll expect the other players to step up and add to the mix and put us in position to win games.
Is this team in a rebuilding mode? You've lost some players in the last couple of years. What do you think about that?
Our focus is to win now, to win next year, win the year after. Neil Huntington has echoed that statement ever since he's been here. Rebuilding, we reignite at time. We refuel at time. However, we don't consider it rebuilding. With Tyone out of the rotation, we had to add another rookie to the rotation. We're always going to be an organization that's going to look to improve internally first. We can't go in the free agent market and knock heads with some of the other teams. We've been smart with the free agent money we spent. Nova was a great addition for us. Cervelli was a really good addition for us. We found some guys to come in and help along the way. However, our scouting department, our player development program and department are always going to be the biggest strengths that we need to have.
A guy you picked up in the Melanson trade was Felipe Rivero. He's done a job for you.
Fantastic. And I know Neil was steadfast in wanting Rivero included in that trade from the start. We like the arm from across the field. Now that he's in the clubhouse and on our team, we like it a lot more. It's electric. To have a touch and feel to throw 3-digit, but also to flip that changeup up there and then throw the breaking ball, he's been very impressive.
McCutchen has more than a year to go. Do you think he'll be here by the trade deadline?
You know, I'm not in charge of those things. I haven't even given a thought. Bill, as you just mentioned it, we're trying to get him right, trying to get him hot with a bat, and we'll see where that takes us.
And he's off to a slow start. What can you do to get him going again?
We've already done it. We took him out of the lineup 2 days in Atlanta, dropped him to sixth in the lineup just to give him a different look. He responded with an 8-game hitting streak. Last night he didn't get a hit, but he was on base 2 more times. Seems to be trending up and in a much better place. A hot Andrew McCutchen, though, would help. There's no doubt about that.
What's the team's most pleasant surprises this year?
Oh, pleasant surprises. Well, Rivero's been, we knew he was going to be okay. He's better than okay. Nicasio, he's special. Nova, I like Frazier's play, moving all over the diamond. Harrison has been a spark plug for us as well. And Bell's showing some promise, Josh Bell.
Talk about the team has been in the postseason since you've been here, with the exception of last year. Can the team come back and become playoff contenders again?
I believe we can. As I said, we haven't gotten hot yet as a club. I think our longest winning streak's 3. And we're 4 games out. 4 games out of first place. And with the things that we've dealt with, I tell everybody outside, we've dealt with a lot of opportunities disguised as challenges. And we're still working through those. But I love the grit on this team. I love the total package is much better than the individual parts put together. They play well for one another, respect one another. I look forward to what's in front of us.
Final question, what is ahead for Clint Hurdle?
I don't know that. I know right now that I've got a Sunday day game in Citi Field. I think it's funny here, Bill, because, you know, a long time ago I played for the Mets, and I was going to tell Sandy Alderson if I ran in today. They've done a wonderful job hiding all the pictures of me here because I can't find any of them. I'm blessed to be where I'm at right now, to be a part of this organization, to be a manager in the big leagues, so I'm taking it one day at a time.
Clint Hurdle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My next guest is Josh Harrison. Although he plays for the Pirates, he loves being a native of Cincinnati. Enjoy the podcast. Josh Harrison, thank you so much for being on the show. You are a Cincinnati native, and you have given back to that city. You have a youth baseball camp, and talk about that camp.
It's a camp that me and my brother Vince put on every year around Martin Luther King Day. And it's a day just to, you know, have some kids come out. We give them some instruction, but also, you know, the instructors that work with us are all guys that are, you know, kind of locally from Cincinnati, you know, kind of northern Kentucky area.
Did you go to camps in Cincinnati when you were growing up?
A little bit, but not much, man. I just played. You know, I was playing every summer, select ball, a lot of different teams. But, you know, camps are something that I think have gotten a little bigger now that I've gotten older. And that's just kind of a way for me to, you know, kind of interact with some kids.
Who are your heroes growing up in Cincinnati?
I grew up watching both of my older brothers play, Vince and Sean. They were exceptional athletes, football, basketball, and baseball. But as a young kid growing up, I got a chance to see Barry Larkin quite a bit, you know, just being from Cincinnati. You know, they were always on TV. He was a guy that I got to watch quite a bit.
Do you ever dream of ever playing in Cincinnati?
Never really thought about it. You know, I got an uncle that played, you know, a lot of seasons in the major leagues and coached, and I know a lot of it is out of my control. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, when we go back and play the Reds at times, you know, people ask me all the time, and, you know, you don't really worry about it. I'm just fortunate to be able to go home a few times a year to play in front of my, you know, family.
Talk about what Cincinnati means to you. Obviously, it means a lot.
Yeah, that's home, and Cincinnati's got a great tradition as far as, you know, ball players coming out of there in general, and, you know, I just, you know, grateful to be one of the ones that have come from there, and, you know, look forward to every chance that I get to go back and play there.
You come from a baseball family. John Shelby is your uncle. Talk about what it's like to have John Shelby as your uncle, and tell me what it was like growing up.
To have him as an uncle is, you know, something that I don't take for granted. It's a blessing. Most people, you know, that have been in this game, a lot of them, you know, may not have had an uncle or brother or father or whoever, you know, family member close to them that they could pick their brain. I've been able to, you know, pick my uncle's brain throughout various parts of my career. And that's an outlet that I was able to use that, you know, otherwise some guys here may not have an outlet. So for me, it's always something that I've never taken lightly and used to my advantage.
This is a guy who's won two World Series. Tell me how you felt growing up that you have an uncle that won two World Series.
You know, I knew as a guy that knew a lot about the game, but also knew about doing it the right way. And, you know, everywhere I go, people that find out that that's my uncle, you know, they have nothing but great things to say about him. So for me, it was, you know, a good model, you know, to go along with my brothers, you know, good model to have somebody that played in the big leagues and, you know, did it the right way and is well respected around.
He's now a coach now. Would you like to follow in his footsteps?
I haven't really thought that far. You know, want to enjoy playing as much as I can. But, you know, whatever happens after baseball is, you know, something that, you know, when that time comes, I'll kind of figure out what I'm going to do. But until then, you know, I'm going to try to ride it till the wheels fall off.
When I watch you play, I see a guy who's happy-go-lucky. Tell me, where'd you get that enthusiasm?
A lot of it just comes down to the person that you are. For me, I don't take this game for granted. I enjoy it. I love it. And, you know, it's a special fraternity here to get a chance to play in the major leagues. And while I'm out there, I try to enjoy it because you never know how long this game is going to last for you.
When I watch you play, I mean, it's amazing how you avoid tags. There was one you did the other day. That was amazing. And tell me, who taught you all that and the enthusiasm?
Nobody taught me that. It's just trusting my instincts and knowing my ability. And, you know, I've always played this game, trusting my instincts ever since, you know, I was a kid. And you know, instincts matched along with, you know, knowing what I can do and my ability to play. You know, I just go out there and play and let whatever happens, happens. And having two older brothers that I had to run away from also kind of helps me a little bit as well.
The one thing I admire about you is that ever since you've been in the big leagues, you played every position. And to me, that's a good thing. What made you decide to do that?
Honestly, it wasn't my decision. I bounced around quite a bit in college, and when I got to pro ball, it was one of those things where, if needed, they would always tell me, hey, we might need you in the outfield today. We might need you at third base. So when that time came, at the time I didn't understand how important it was, but now looking back on it, I know it provided a lot of flexibility for the coaches and allowed me to stand in the lineup and play multiple positions and, you know, play it well as that.
I've seen you play third base and second base and the outfield. What's your favorite position?
I'm a natural infielder by trade, but I've played enough outfield and bounced around here over the, you know, last few years of my life that I feel that I could play anywhere.
The way you say bounce around, it seems like you're a journeyman, but you're not. You've been with the same team. You're doing well. Why you say bounce around?
National League, you know, you got the pitcher hitting, and you know, while you may be at one spot, you know, regardless of what happens, double switches happen, guys get hurt. You know, I'm a guy that can, if we're short on a bench or we make a double switch, I can go to the outfield, and later in the game, if it's another switch, come back to the infield. So as I may start at one position, I know I can bounce around given how unpredictable this game is.
Now, this team's off to a slow start, but you're close to the Brewers still. What can this team do to get back into contention?
Continue to push forward. Whatever's happened in the past is in the past, and know that as long as we stick together in here and continue to go and give it all that we got out there, things will continue to click. We've shown flashes of what we can do. It's just a matter of being more consistent as a whole.
I got to ask you, how much is McCutchen, Starling Marte, how much was that a distraction? And is it still a distraction?
Not a distraction at all. I think anybody would be kind of naive to expect to go a full season without, you know, injuries or, you know, guys going down or whatever it may be. It's just one of those things where we're professionals. We got to push through it and know that, you know, this is the cards that we have been dealt. And just no time for excuses or this or that. Just go out and play.
What's ahead for Josh Harrison?
Continue to take it day by day and, you know that I'm blessed and, you know, give it all that I got out there and, you know, stay the course and have fun.
Josh Harrison, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
My next guest is Red Sox pitcher David Price. Can you believe it's 10 years since he was the first overall pick in the 2007 first-year player draft? Price reminisced about that event. Enjoy the podcast. David Price, thank you so much for being on the show. You were the first pick of the 2007 first-year player draft 10 years ago. It seems hard to believe, huh?
Yeah. You know, my agent sent me that picture this morning, you know, telling me that, you know, today was the 10-year anniversary of that moment, and that is it's very hard to believe that much time has went by, and it feels like it was yesterday when it happened.
Now, tell me what you were going through before the draft. Everyone knew who you were. You were great in Vanderbilt. Talk about that period, because everyone knew you were going to be the first pick.
It was, you know, probably for me, it was a little bit different than everybody else, because I was, you know, they told me, you know, before, I think they probably told me on June 5th, you know, R.J. Harrison, who was, you know, the scouting director in Tampa, you know, he called me and told me that, you know, Tampa was going to take me with the first overall selection that year, and that was a very cool, satisfying, you know, I don't feel like I can really put a word, you know, that really describes it, you know, just to kind of have everything kind of come to fruition, you know, all the hard work, you know, everything that I've been through, you know, up to that point, you know, to be rewarded for that, you know, it definitely felt good.
David, do you realize you are the standard now when it comes to successful pitchers out of the draft? Because it leads to your success, what you did prior to going to Tampa Bay. How proud are you of that?
Very, you know, that's it was a lot of hard work. You know, I had I was blessed to have, you know, a lot of good coaches, you know, all the way up from from Little League, you know, especially at Vanderbilt, you know, with Coach Corbin and Coach Johnson, my pitching coach, and, you know, Coach Backich, you know, our outfield hitting and recruiting coordinator, you know, just felt like I was always placed in the right setting at the right time and always had the right people around me. So it's, I got to give a lot of those guys a lot of that credit because, you know, they helped, you know, mold me into who I am today.
Talk about Vanderbilt, because obviously Vanderbilt got you to be that first pick. Talk about Vanderbilt, how great it was there.
Well, I mean, that was hands down the best decision that I had ever made, you know, not just to go to college, but to go to Vanderbilt. You know, that was, you know, it was definitely a change of scenery for myself, even though, you know, it was only 20 miles away from, you know, where I grew up. You know, just the challenges, you know, that it brought, you know, both on the field and off the field with, you know, school and learning how to, you know, balancing, you know, my schoolwork and baseball and just, you know, having a life away from baseball at the same time. You know, that really, it made me grow up a lot, and that was definitely what I needed at that time.
Now, it just wasn't baseball you did well. You were good in school, man. I mean, you know, people don't talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I was a very good student, you know, probably starting in sixth grade, you know, was when I really started making good grades and understanding, you know, my parents were always, you know, big on education. Both of my parents graduated from Middle Tennessee State, and that's where they met. You know, they always told me at an early age, you know, education is something that can never be taken away from you. You know, you can turn 16, get your driver's license, and, you know, that can be taken away from you. You know, education is something that can, nobody can ever take that from you. And, you know, I realized that, and that was, you know, my parents, you know, always led me in the right direction and never steered me off path. You know, I have, you know, two fantastic parents, and, you know, I'm very thankful for both of them.
Talk about them. Obviously, they played a big role.
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for 40-something years now, you know, they were always there for me. You know, they were always the ones taking me to baseball, basketball, soccer practice, or games. They were the ones picking me up. You know, they were always there to support me. You know, they never pushed me in one direction for any other sport. You know, if I wanted to try something new, you know, they let me do that. You know, they always supported me in whatever decisions that I made. And, you know, for them to give me that support, you know, that always made me, you know, more confident in the decisions that I made.
Being the first pick of the 2007 draft, what advice would you give to kids now who are drafted high and you know, because you don't find a lot of success in the draft?
Enjoy it. You know, this is something you get to go through, you know, one time if you decide to, you know, sign that dotted line, and you've got to be confident in yourself, and you have to make sure that that's what you want to do and that's the right, you know, decision for you at that time. And, you know, it's a very cool thing to go through, you know, just to be able to hear your name called out, you know, to have an organization take that chance on you. It's a very rewarding, very cool feeling, and it's something you've got to want.
Even though you're the first pick, that success continued in Major League Baseball. You are now a pitcher for the Red Sox. You've had a great career.
Yeah, I mean, I got a long way to go. You know, I've got a long way. I don't see the light, you know, at the end of that tunnel yet, and I don't plan to see it for, you know, a while now. You know, this is something I have a tremendous amount of passion doing, and it's, you know, something I fell in love with, you know, a long time ago whenever I was a little kid. You know, just watching the Braves play, and, you know, something my family would always do every night. You know, we'd sit down, eat dinner, and watch the Braves play. You know, it's kind of a family thing for us, and, you know, I just became a father a couple weeks ago, so I look forward to getting to bring my son to baseball games and bring him in the clubhouse and take him out and throw him BP and, you know, hit him ground balls and stuff of that nature. So I'm looking forward to it.
What's his name, and what are your goals with him?
His name is Xavier, and my goals I don't have a goal for him. You know, I just want to raise him the way that I was raised, you know, teach him right from wrong, and, you know, when he makes a mistake, you know, just make sure that he learns from it like my parents did.
Also, I got to ask you this. You want a Cy Young. What's your goals?
World Series. Well, that's always my goal. I want to be a World Series champion. Well, that's that's why I came here. You know, the fountain of youth that we have, you know, obviously up here in the big leagues now, you know, being able to recognize that. You know, at the end of 2015, just seeing all the young guys, you know, that that Boston had, knowing the big leagues and, you know, with the way that they had drafted over the past couple of years, you know, this organization has the ability to do whatever they want. You know, there's not a free agent we can't sign. You know, there's not a guy at the trade deadline that we don't have the prospects to go and get. You know, and we saw that, you know, this offseason, you know, whenever they went to get Chris Sale and Tyler Thornburg, you know, Carson Smith, you know, guys of that nature. You know, it's, you know, we've got a good minor league system, we've got a lot of money, and we can they're always, you know, it's always win now. You know, it's never, you know, we're gonna shut it down for this year and worry about, you know, 3 years down the road. You know, this organization always has a win now attitude, and that's what I want to be a part of.
This team is healthy now. You guys are making your run.
Yeah, you know, and we're starting to play a lot better baseball, and I still don't think we've played our best baseball, you know, by any means. You know, we haven't pitched as well as we can pitch as a whole. You know, we haven't swung the bats as well as we can swing the bats as a whole. You know, we haven't played our best defense. You know, I think we can improve on everything, and that's, you know, that's just a testament to how good of a team that we have, you know, to still be in the position we're in right now and still haven't really hit our stride. I think we've had a five-game winning streak. It's been our longest winning streak. You know, this is a team that's capable of winning a lot of games in a row and getting really hot. So when that time comes, you know, it's fun.
Since you've been back, you look real good. But I have to ask, how's the elbow?
Oh, it's good. You know, it's not a thought in my mind whenever I'm out there on the mound, or, you know, the day after, or in my bullpen, or day one through five. You know, it's not something I think about. You know, I don't get in bed, you know, after the day's over, and I'm not thinking about how my arm's going to bounce back. And whenever I wake up, I don't think about my arm or my elbow or any of that. So it's not a thought that's in my mind, and, you know, I feel healthy.
Were you scared that you could have Tommy John?
Yeah, probably so. You know, that the day it happened on March 2nd, you know, that night and then next morning, you know, that was something I had never really felt before, you know, just how stiff it got. But, you know, to go to see Andrews and Alcatraz and in Indianapolis at the combine, you know, for them to tell me what they said, you know, no cortisone, no PRP, you know, just give us some time to heal and you'll be fine. So that first probably 24 hours, yeah, I wasn't very optimistic about it.
You really look happy to be back.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is what I love to do. This is, you know, if it wasn't for baseball, I have no idea what I would be doing. So this is what I have a passion for. This is what I've always wanted to do, always loved to do. And to kind of have that taken away from you is, you know, that's tough. You know, whenever you have to sit there on the bench every night and watch those guys go out there and compete, you know, for nine innings, night in and night out, you know, that's tough. So to be back and to be healthy, you know, that's, I'm happy.
Final question. I know that you want to go to the World Series, but any particular numbers you want to put up since you started the season? Like, I know that.
You know, honestly, my goal every year is to make, you know, 33 starts. You know, you make 33 starts, that means you're out there every fifth day. You know, you're not missing a start. You're not being skipped. You know, you're available. You're out there every fifth day. You know, and I guess to go with that, you know, I've always taken a lot of pride in throwing 200 innings, you know, and that's probably not going to be the case this year. I don't even know if it's a possibility anymore. You know, I missed, I think, 9, maybe 10 starts. So, you know, just I want to be out there every fifth day, or if you have a day off, every sixth day right now. You know, I don't foresee anything happening, you know, with, you know, my health right now, and I want to be available.
David Price, thank you so much.
Absolutely, no problem.
Thank you. My next guest is Jackie Bradley Jr., and he believes the Red Sox are on their way to winning another division title. Enjoy the podcast. Jackie Bradley, thank you so much for being on the show. The Boston Red Sox seems they're healthy now, and it looks like you guys are about to make a run.
We're getting healthy. We still got a guy down, Dustin, you know, mm-hmm. still recovering. Yeah, we've been able to play pretty well as of late, and, you know, we want to continue to keep playing strong baseball and see where things go from there.
How are you doing? I know you had a knee problem, but how are you doing health-wise?
It's good. It's getting stronger daily. I'm glad to be out of the brace. That's a start. I'm in, like, a little sleeve, but, you know, it's one of those things where I'm going to continuously keep working and keep building the strength all around it.
We saw improvements from you the last few years. What improvements would you like to do even more this year?
Just overall consistency. Continuously coming in here, working every single day, and trying to produce at a consistent clip.
What's the key to success for this team, you think?
Staying healthy and obviously, you know, executing. Executing is key. But it's one of those things where you got to continuously focus on one game at a time and not worry about the future. I think you focus on winning that one game, then you continuously build confidence by winning.
Obviously, you want to win another division title, obviously. Tell me, you know, how frustrating it's been not to have the hitting. I know injuries play a lot to it, but how frustrating is it that the hitting has been up and down this year?
For the team?
Yeah, for the team, yes.
It's one of those things where you go through it. We're all in this together, and, you know, we know what kind of team we're capable of doing. There's been times where we've swung the bats really well, and there's times where we haven't. We know that we're a team that's young, we're mixed in with a lot of veterans, and there's a lot of improvement that we are working towards. And for not being so hot, I think we're in a pretty good position where we are in the standings.
I know this is your first year without Big Poppy. Do you miss him, and how can you replace him?
You don't replace him. We have guys who they have their own particular things that they do well. And, you know, when you have a group of guys and we're all focused on one thing, that's what makes it a team. You know, one person doesn't necessarily make the ship go as a crew. And I think that's what's very special about this team. We're a very close-knit group, and we know how to handle adversity.
Jackie, I've heard a lot about you. I've heard you have a great character, and where does that come from? I understand you're really good with the fans, the media. Please talk about that.
I just think it's overall perspective. Perspective on life, perspective on what I've been through, and possibly perspective of what I'm going to go through. Just knowing, who has me in his hands, and I think just ultimate faith.
Is there anything? Oh, you just said it, faith. But is there anything that made you say, "I'm going to treat everyone the same"? I've heard nothing but great things about you.
I'm no different than anybody else. I know, kind of the old saying, "I know where I come from, or I came." I've been through a lot at a young age, and,
no kidding.
And everybody has their story. So you know, I made it my business to treat everybody the exact same because that's how I would want to be treated. No matter who you are, I love young people because I was once that age. So when you're young, there's a lot of things that leaves a lot of impressions on you, good, bad, and different. So it's what kind of molds you into the person that you are and the person that you want to become.
You said that you've been through a lot. What have you been through?
I was sort of like an inner city kid. I didn't always have everything, financially. So, having to, work for everything that I've, been through. And, it's just a blessing to be able to be here and to continuously, work. And baseball is not who I am. Baseball is what I do. So I like for people to get to know me for me, not the baseball player.
Father's Day's coming up, and could you tell me what Jackie Bradley Sr. means to you?
Pops. He means a lot to me. Hardworking man. He's
bus driver.
Yes, that's right. And has a little lawn business on the side.
Is
that's right. He's a hustler. He's special. He's always been a go-getter. Much love to him. He's always been able to provide, you know, take care of our family, and you know, his hard work and dedication, it's something that has driven me to be the person that I am, and I love him very much.
You must be proud of him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Your father too. What traits do you want to carry to your children that your father gave you?
I think my father has always told me, he said, I wanted to be better than my father, and I want you to be better than me. Mm-hmm. And there's so many folds to that saying, whether it's emotionally, physically, mentally, just being there, showing that love for your little one or your family. I think that's the ultimate thing. Once your kids, your family sees how much you love them, that's, I think, when they begin to understand the things that you do for them, or you reprimand them, or it's one of those things where they say love is hard.
Now I hear you and your father were named after the singer Jackie Wilson. Now, yeah. How did that come about?
I gotta ask the grandma about that. She was a big Jackie Wilson fan. Right. She loved his music, and that's how Pops came about.
Do you like his music at all?
Yeah. I've listened to a few songs. I think my dad's let me listen to a few.
Right. He's a great singer. Jackie Bradley Jr., thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Thank you. My final guest is Todd Callis, and believe me when I tell you, he's enjoying his first year as the play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros. Enjoy the podcast. On the phone is Astros broadcaster Todd Callis. Todd, listen, thank you so much for being with me.
Thanks for having me.
Todd, this is your first year with the Astros, and you must be having some fun. How much fun are you having right now?
So far, 42-17, fun. Hard to beat this record coming out of the gates by the Astros. They're doing things that really only the 2001 Mariners have done in the modern baseball era. So they're being comped right now to a team that won 116 games. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great time to watch this team do their thing.
Now, I expected the Astros to be a winning club, but I didn't expect them to be this good. I mean, how good are they? I mean, what's impressed you the most about them?
Just the fact that they're relentless offensively and they keep putting pressure on the opposing team's pitching. It's hard to get through this lineup more than a couple of times. We see it often where they'll knock a starting pitcher out early and then they really go to work on bullpens, especially it was highlighted in that Minnesota series on the road. But all year long, they've just been continuing to do their thing 1-9 offensively. For the first month and a half, there wasn't one star that really stood out on the offensive end, but then Carlos Correa had a huge month of May. George Springer has picked it up, and he's been fantastic lately. Altuve's been the one guy that's done it the whole year, but even he had his share of struggles kind of earlier in the season, maybe around games 20 through 40. So it's been a real team effort. It's hard, like I said, to get through this lineup more than twice. And with that in mind, they continue to lead the way in runs scored and fewest runs allowed, and that's a pretty good combination.
I got to tell you, Todd, I'm impressed with George Springer. I mean, George Springer has been on a tear the last week or so, and, can he keep this up?
Well, I don't know if he can keep up the pace of 7 home runs every 10 games, which is what he's been doing, but he can certainly keep up the power numbers. I wouldn't be shocked if he led this team in home runs. He's got the ability to hit the ball as far as anybody on this team. He hit one 473 feet last weekend. He's got unlimited potential. He's not your prototypical leadoff hitter in that we're more than a third the way through the season. He doesn't have a stolen base yet. But then again, there's not really that prototypical leadoff hitter as much as we used to see. So guys at the top of the lineup that can turn on a pitch and change a game, put a run spot on the board right away. It's kind of unique, but it's also becoming more commonplace. I think you're seeing more power hitters in that leadoff spot, and George has certainly filled that role nicely with 6 leadoff home runs.
Now listen, the question I have is, I know it's June, but any worries as the season goes on? I know it's early, but any worries about the team?
I don't think there's any worries per se. It's hard to have worries when you're this far in front, in the second week of June. I think they wouldn't mind adding to the depth of their starting rotation. They've had a couple of injuries with Charlie Morton and Joe Musgrove going down recently. They've had guys fill in and do a really good job, and Brad Peacock and David Paulino, but also Mike Fiers looked like he was going to the bullpen, and now he's still in the rotation. So, I think that starting rotation, maybe as you look ahead towards the possibility of postseason play, you think maybe they would add an arm there. But other than that, the team is really solid offensively. There's really no room to improve there. They have some good players at the minor league level that just can't play at this level at the big leagues because there's no room for them on the roster. They added an arm to the bullpen also. That probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but they're pretty good in the bullpen. But if they just had maybe one more arm back there and one more starter, that would be what I would think if anything happened.
Talk about the manager, A.J. Hinch. He's done a hell of a job, and I'm really happy he's getting a second chance.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. From the first day that I took this job, wasn't shortly thereafter that he reached out to me, and I could tell right away on our first conversation that he was a really good guy, that I was going to have fun working with him. I didn't realize just how much fun. He opens up. He will give us kind of his perspective on things behind the scenes, some of which we can use on the air and some of it which we can't. But it also allows us to understand why certain things are happening and why he's making certain moves. So great guy to be around, and enjoyed the time I've spent with him around the ballpark and even a couple times when we've gotten together outside the ballpark.
Todd, you were a longtime member of the Tampa Bay Rays. You're their sideline reporter. And for people who don't know, what's the difference between a sideline reporter to a play-by-play guy?
Pretty big difference in terms of preparation level. I did have an opportunity to fill in and do my share of play-by-play and filled in on the color analyst role as well when I was with the Rays. So that kept me kind of going during those 19 years. Those were really my favorite games. Not that I didn't enjoy the pre- and post-game role and fill-in and in-game reporting role, but that, to me, being in the booth was the ultimate, so I always enjoyed those times. But in terms of preparation level, on the one side, and Julia Morales is our Astros sideline person, and she does it as well as anybody in the game, but it's always being down in the clubhouse. It's always looking for different angles on the story, things that you can't really find in game notes, and the play-by-play guy is more looking for the nuts and bolts, trying to always have all the storylines noted that are available, but also being able to have everything right there on your score sheet, which allows you to use the numbers you want, because you can get inundated and you can abuse the amount of stats that we get if you're not careful. So a little different preparation level, a little different, you know, you're spending more time up in the booth getting ready for a game than you are necessarily in the clubhouse or on the field. But it's a role that I've really enjoyed and wanted for a long time.
Todd, how ironic is it? Your father started with the Astros. Now you're with the Astros. And tell me, how does it feel to follow in your father's footsteps?
It's pretty cool. It would have been a little different, Bill, had it been in Philadelphia, just because that's where Dad's legacy grew. He was in Philly for 39 years.
Yes.
But yes, his career started with the Astros. I was a very young toddler, so I don't remember much about being in Houston. I think a lot of the older Astros fans certainly put that connection together, and it's nice to be remembered with Dad starting in Houston. But I think a lot of the, you know, it's been a long time. It's been over 40 years since I've lived in Houston. So a lot of people, many of the younger Astros fans don't even realize that Harry Callis started his career in Houston. But for me, it's really cool to be back. The Astrodome's still standing. I do remember the Astrodome as a child, and I do enjoy being part of that franchise history that Dad was a part of back in the mid-60s.
What was the biggest advice he gave you before you became a broadcaster and you still follow today?
He didn't really push me in any certain direction. He kind of let me make my own decision in terms of my career path. The one thing he always emphasized wasn't really a broadcasting tip. It was more of a people tip. And he said, you know, no matter what, whether it's the president of the team or the GM of the team or the person who works selling sodas and works, you know, for a small wage per game, that you treat everybody the same. And that's something I always took away. He was always friends with everybody at the stadium. He always had time for fans. He always had time to talk to everybody that worked at Veterans Stadium and then at Citizens Bank Park. So that's my big takeaway in terms of Dad's advice, was really how to treat people.
That's the one thing I admire about your father. It seems like every time he was in the booth, he was having a good time, and he was always happy-go-lucky. Am I right on that? It seems like he was always having a good time.
No, you're spot on with that. He loved what he did for a living, and he knew at a much earlier age than I did that that's what he wanted to do. That's something from his childhood. He had always dreamed about calling baseball games, and for him to fulfill that dream and do it at the major league level was pretty phenomenal. So, yes, he couldn't wait to get to the ballpark every day. He loved going to call baseball games. He loved the sport of baseball, and he loved being able to share that with the Philadelphia community through the years. So, yes, you're right. Every day was a good day when Dad was at the ballpark.
I know your father passed away in 2009, but Father's Day is coming up. Could you tell me what Harry Callis means to you?
Everything. I mean, he was the reason why I decided to get into baseball broadcasting, and he showed me a life that was very exciting and very fulfilling. And, you know, I'm not sure what career path I might have chosen had it not been baseball broadcasting, but Dad certainly was very instrumental in that regard. We used to talk baseball all the time. I grew up going to baseball games as a kid, and Father's Day and his birthday, March 26th, are always days that are a little bit tougher. I miss him tremendously. It's crazy to think that he's been gone already since 09. We're coming up on over 8 years now. So, yes, I will think about him as I do every day, but especially on Father's Day.
Todd Callis, let me tell you, you're doing a great job, and I'm really happy for you.
I appreciate it. The Astros team has made it very easy on me, and Bill Brown has been great in my transition. So, I appreciate it. I'm really having a good time, and hopefully the Astros keep this going.
Thank you so much. You take care.
All right, you too, Bill.